Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you today. And looking forward to studying with you, studying the Word of God, the Word of our Lord and our God, and finding out what the Scriptures have to say concerning what is true and what is not true, and how we can nail down what we believe, and understand what doctrine is and what is and what is not. And that's important for us Christians today because out in the world, the Bible says in Jeremiah that our habitation is in the midst of deceit. And more today, I didn't live way back then, but the Lord said that things were going to wax worse and worse, and that perilous times will come. And I believe things are more deceitful today than they've ever been, and that everywhere you look, there's deceit. And all the advertisements, all the radio, all the advertisements on your television, everything that you look at, listen to, just all over the place. And there doesn't have to be much discussion about that. All you have to do is open your eyes and look around and listen a little bit, and you can find out that God is not the main thought to the world anymore. As a matter of fact, they're so not interested in the Lord anymore and have no interest in the Lord anymore. They are actively trying to do everything that they can to remove him from every place and every book and every place that they possibly can, and actively doing that. So we can tell, can't we? But today we're going to go back into our study of the letter M, which we're studying missions. And we're just to recap just a little bit to get us back on a roll in our studying. We have talked about so far in this study the biblical basis for missions. We talked about the biblical plan for missions. And then we also went into the biblical challenge for missions. And today we're going to continue in a study that we started on the last program, or the topic that we started on, which was the biblical way to support missions. And there are several different ways to support missions, and we found out that it's important to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did leave a specific mission. He did leave a mission mind scenario with the church when he left and went back. He did leave a work for us, and for what it told us what to be interested in and what not to be interested in, where to set our affections and where not to set our affections. The Lord has told us what we are to be doing, and that's waiting on his second coming, and to be working, to be doing something, but not doing something as the world presents to us, doing spiritual work, because see, we are part of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is not here yet. It will be here. A kingdom of heaven is a literal place that you can touch and look at and see, and it's visible. The kingdom of God is not. The kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom, and that's the kingdom that's going on right now. The Lord Jesus Christ brought it when he was here, and it's still here. And it was taken from the Jews and given to us, the Gentiles. And until the Lord comes back, it'll remain that way. And then when he comes back, we'll have both the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven present with us all the time. So, continuing in the biblical way to support missions, the first thing that we talked about last recording was that we are to give financially toward missions. And it takes money to do things, and we all know that God can do much more than this. The Bible tells us that he can, that the Lord can do much, much more than this. Anything that we can do, the Lord can do much more. He can provide much more. And we know if you've had any experience with the Lord at all, concerning money and concerning monetary things, you know that the Lord can provide. And you know that the Lord will provide. And the Lord provides, not in a way that we would imagine. When we set up a plan for provisions, most of the time, we put a little bit of our greed in it, or put a little bit of our selfishness in it, or put a little bit of something in there, you know, set it up the way that our flesh can have a little bit of something or something, hey, whatever. But the Lord sets it up and prioritizes it accordingly, spiritually, and according to His way of thinking. And we don't think like the Lord. The Lord thinks differently than we do. And the Lord said that the important things that man thinks are very important are an abomination to Him. He don't think like we do. And I'm grateful for that, aren't you? I'm glad the Lord's smarter than us and that He thinks differently, and that He's promised us that we're going to have the mind of Christ one day. We got so much to look forward to with our wonderful Lord. But in the biblical way to support missions, we talked about giving financially toward missions. And when we give financially towards missions, what does it mean that we are to, as far as supporting missions and giving financially, there's certain ways that the Bible teaches us that we are to give. Now, money is money. You can get money out of a garbage can if it's in there. You can get money out of a bank. You can get money out of Fort Knox. You can get money out of a teller. You can get money from somebody else. I mean, money is money. It's just a tool. It's just physical, something that you touch with your hands. But the idea of money and the idea of giving and to support missions is the character of the giving is what the Lord geared in on. When in the scriptures, when we were talking about it, remember the first thing that the Lord said was our attitude in giving. Remember that? He talked about our attitude in giving. And in 2 Corinthians, we was reading in that, and I hope you went back over those scriptures in 2 Corinthians there and read chapter 8 and 9 and 10 and seen what we was talking about, where the scriptures talk about giving and the way that they were giving and the church was giving. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 through 5, the Bible says that we are to have the right attitude when we give. We are not to give in a selfish way. Our attitude should be right. And it said that people praying for us that much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints, as this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave of their own selves to the Lord. You see, the idea of giving had already started. It was already in their heart before the money showed up. That's why they were able to give out of their deep poverty, because the attitude was already there. They wanted to give, you see. And it also told us that something that's important to the Lord as far as giving is our motive. Our motive. And we found that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5 through 8. It said, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Whatever you're, and give, no, don't give grudgingly. The Bible says not grudgingly. God would rather not have your money than to have it from a grudge. You see, and giving financially, the Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and it is. And if you've ever had that blessing in your life to where when you give and you have weighed the balance of giving and receiving, you can tell and you can admit even right now that you've been blessed more when you give than when you receive. And you do. The closer you get to the Lord and the more you listen to God, the Holy Ghost, and turn your life over to the Lord and begin to walk for Him in sincerity and truth, you'll start finding these things out and the Lord will teach them to you. But the Lord said, not grudgingly and not of necessity, not because you have to. Well, there's that missionary thing again. Not because you have to, because you want to. And that the Lord would, and the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Somebody that's cheerful and gives. Well, you know, That takes practice to become cheerful in giving. It takes practice because we are fleshly, and Paul told us that there's no good thing in our flesh. No good thing. So we walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The only way that we can be cheerful in giving monetarily to missions that we don't really know anything about or what's going on over there, we're trusting the Lord and we're giving that money to the Lord, really. But to give it cheerfully, that has to be a spiritual thing. You see, it can't be physical or fleshly. Your flesh is never going to approve of you giving anything away. It wants your flesh is a gimme, gimme, gimme thing. It's not a your flesh is never a givey, givey, givey. It's a gimme, gimme, gimme. Yeah, and that's the way that goes. But the Lord said that our attitude and our motive, and also one other thing He was talking about was our purpose in giving. The purpose in your heart, as a man purposeth in his heart, so let him give. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we went over that, and it was talking about the purpose in giving was so he could preach the gospel in the regions beyond. It costs money to do things. And until that changes, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like in the millennium, whether it's going to be money in the millennium or not. I don't know. I don't care, really. Just as long as the Lord Jesus Christ is there and I'm there with Him. And that's, you know, and you feel the same way. I don't need anything except the Lord. When I got the Lord, I got everything, you see, and just to be with Him. But if there, if there is talking about to preach the gospel in the regions beyond, that we have the right purpose in giving. Now, let's move on a little bit. Not only are we to give financially, now we're talking about the biblical way to support missions. The biblical way to support missions. The first way is that we're to give financially. And another way that the Lord talks about is found in Romans chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. Let me read that. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints." Okay, we're not only supposed to pray or to give financially, but we are to pray for the missionaries. Anybody that's on a mission spiritually, and that the Lord, the Holy Ghost has called to do a specific mission, they need our prayers. They need us to pray for them. And you don't have to be in an assembly to do it. You should have people in the back of your mind, just like you, when you're cooking a dinner, you have the things that get done real fast, and you put them on the back burner. Now, I'm not no cook, and I'm just going to try to explain this. There's some things that you put on the back burner that stay on the back burner while you're tending to the things on the front burner. And when it comes to praying, there are things that we pray for immediately right here, right now. You see, but then there's the things that are on the back burner that are just back there staying warm and that we remember and we come to every now and then and check on, but they're always on the back burner. That's kind of like what these prayers are about. You always have people on the back burner that you pray for every day, and you don't know what's going on with them. You just trust in the Lord, but you're lifting them up to the Lord, and just if anything else, you're just lifting their names up and asking for things for them, like the missionaries. If you know anything about the work that they're doing, you pray for their work. If you know anything about the country that they're in or the city that they're in, if it's and the people that they're ministering to, you pray for them things, you see. But prayer, the older you get in your walk with the Lord, and you're going to find out that you hear people talk about prayer, 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 and it just gets monotonous because you don't understand prayer yet, you see. But the older you get and the closer you your relationship comes to the Lord, the more you want to talk to Him. And that's all prayer is talking to God, holding conversation with God. I mean, if you're married and your spouse all of a sudden quits talking to you, doesn't talk to you for a whole day, well, that's something that brings up question marks in you, and you wonder what's going on. And now 2 days pass, and they're not talking to you at all for 2 days. You start questioning that. And then 3 days and 4 days and 5 days, it doesn't do anything, but just the relationship has to be talked about. It has to be, there's a big concern about this because there's no communication. It's the same thing with your Lord. You have to talk to the Lord like you talk to your spouse. He is our Lord, and He is just as personal with you as He dwells in you, in the person of God, the Holy Ghost. And you talk to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has given us that privilege to be able to talk to Him about anything. And I don't know how you talk to the Lord, but I walk around talking to the Lord, and I don't mean this in a braggadocious way, because I've had to learn how to talk with the Lord. I've had to learn to love the Lord and learn to love talking to Him. I had my prayers, I love you, Lord, and thank you for what you give me. Thank you for my food. Thank you for this, and thank you for amen. You know, and them kind. But then when you get to knowing the Lord, and you the things that the Lord has done for you, and the personal things, and the things that you've prayed for, and watched the Lord answer your prayers and do, you start getting a little more personal with Him, and you begin to talk to Him like He's a real person, which He is. So we are to pray for missionaries. Now, I'm going to read some scripture here, and I want you to pick out the things that the scriptures are suggesting and advising and encouraging us to pray for. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, here's what the Bible says. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. According to that verse right there, it was spoken by a missionary. According to that verse right there, what is one thing in that verse that we have been asked to pray for? It says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That's probably one of the most aggravating things in a ministry, is battling with people that are against you and against God, the haters of God. That's probably one of the most aggravating things. It's kind of like potholes in a dirt road. When you're going down the dirt road and then you're looking at the countryside, and it's so beautiful, and all the flowers and the spring smell in the air, and the nice breeze and going and everything else, but the stinking potholes are just as aggravating as they can be. Kind of like that. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. And they don't. One thing that missionaries and people that are on missions for the Lord run into constantly, and if you're any kind of Christian and living for the Lord at all, you know that you run into unreasonable and wicked men. We should be praying for these missionaries that the Lord would keep these kinds of men and unreasonable men and wicked men that would try to destroy their work and try to hinder their work for the Lord, that the Lord would kick them out and get rid of them. And, give them wisdom to be able to deal with these people and to not deal with them. And the people that hate God, you say, there's people that hate God. You better believe it. There's people that hate God's guts. They hate Him. They hate Him with a passion. Heard a guy one time say, come on down here, God, and I'll gouge your eyes out. Man, it made me shake in my boots when he said that. There's people that don't fear God. They don't care nothing about Him. They hate Him. They'd rather Him disappear and never come around again. Humanism. The love of humans. Humans love humans. They want to be humanistic. Humans. Humanism. But we're to pray for the missionaries and pray for the ones that are on specific missions for the Lord and pray that they'll be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Another thing that we can pray for is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. Listen to this. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What's one thing in that verse right there that this person has asked us to pray for him about? And there are missionaries that do pray this prayer and request prayer for this specific thing here also. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What's he asking for there? He's asking for boldness to speak God's word and to teach God's word. And that when these people that are on missions and they're taking the gospel to the regions there, beyond, that the enemy is out there actively battling with them all the time. And anybody that's trying to do any kind of mission for the Lord's sake and for the testimony of the Word of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to have active enemies opposing them. And one thing that the enemy continually does, and I'm a preacher and a teacher, and one thing that he continually does is trying to give you reason to doubt yourself and to doubt that you're pleasing to God and that you're doing something wrong all the time and that you ought to just keep your mouth shut and quit making people mad and he tries to tempt you to chicken out from saying things and then making you feel guilty whenever you do and then saying that God's disappointed with you. I mean, he comes up with all kinds of things and drives you nuts. But that utterance may be given to me, that the Lord would give him boldness to speak with God's words the mystery of the gospel and to make it known. This man's requesting that God would give him the boldness and the courage to speak out like he ought to speak out. Now, that's a good prayer. But he's asking for prayer that we pray for him concerning that also. And that's a good prayer. We're to pray for these people. Pray for these people that God has sent on specific missions. That they'll speak and that they'll do what the Lord asks them to do. And they'll not listen to the enemy, but they'll trust in the Lord with all their heart. And they won't lean unto their own understanding. But they'll do what the Lord, and they'll have courage to do these things boldly and to minister like the Lord asked them to do and has instructed them to do. Another thing found in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 18, the Bible says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. What's something in there that we could pray for concerning our brothers and sisters that are on missions and doing the Lord's work? What's something in there we could be praying for? It says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience. That's something that we need to pray for one another, not only for them, but also for one another, that we walk in before the world with a good conscience. And we ain't got nothing to hide, you see. And whenever I'm always ready to give answer of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, if somebody was to ask of the hope that's in me, I'm always ready to give an answer. And I don't have to confess my sins, and I always have a good conscience because I'm right with the Lord. And I'm walking sincerely, and I'm walking honestly. And all things willing to live honestly. I don't take no shortcuts, especially in front of the world, and giving them a reason to belittle the Lord and belittle his church and belittle the body of Christ you know, yeah, all you Christians, because the enemy's always looking for something like that. That's something that we need to be praying for these people that are on missions, our brothers and sisters that are doing works for the Lord. We need to pray for them that the Lord would help them to live honestly and to live with a good conscience, and that they wouldn't be carried away, because there's different devils that work in different countries. And these devils are all over the place, and they specialize in different kinds of wickedness and evil, and depending on where they at, they have different enemies that they have to deal with, and different devils that they have to deal with. So we should pray for them that they wouldn't be carried away with the temptations wherever they're at, and that they couldn't be tempted to violate their conscience and tempted to be dishonest in front of the world, where they wouldn't have any kind of say-so in front of them anymore, and they wouldn't be trusted anymore as a Christian, that their testimony would be valid, you see. We should pray for them for these things. Lots of stuff we could pray for missionaries about. I mean, all you have to do is think about, how hard it is for you to walk in your daily life. The Lord said, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought of the things of itself. And then he said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's the best that we can do. The Lord gives us permission to live day by day, not to think about tomorrow. And didn't say anything about keeping your calendar right and stuff like that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being full of care about what's going to happen tomorrow, when you have absolutely no idea what's going on tomorrow, and you got your mind all confused and tied up with tomorrow, and you need to be concerned about the evil that's going on today and the things you're tempted with today and the battles that you're fighting spiritually today and fight today, you see. And that's what we need to be praying for these people about, is a daily, that they have strength in a daily battle, because we live day by day. I mean, any second you could be walking along and take that next step and the earth cracks open and you fall into eternity, and it's done. You're gone. It's over. Tomorrow ain't coming. You see, so sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The Lord said, pay attention to what's going on right now, and the evil that's going on right now, because it's wicked out there. It's wicked and it's evil, and it's you can't battle with a half a mind of concentration and a half-hearted concentration. You have to be concerned about what's going on right now. And so do these people that are on missions with the Lord. And we should pray for that. Another thing, and one other thing, talking about prayer, that not only do we give financially to support the missions, and not only do we pray for missionaries, one other thing in praying would be found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to this. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. You know how special the word of God is to you, and the more you study it, and the more God the Holy Ghost reveals to you of the mysteries of the word of God, and you find out the truths that are doctrine for eternity, the eternal truths of the living God. And we, and the more we find out and begin to love and begin to become part of these doctrinal truths, then we understand that we want God's word to have free course. That's one thing that's going to be wonderful about living in the millennium, is that righteousness is going to rule. It's not going to be the Senate against the Democrats, the Republicans against the Democrats, and the Senate against the Congress, and the blabbity, blabbity, blah, 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 and who's going to win the race and all that. It's going to be a monarchy. It's going to be a king ruling, Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and it's his His reign is going to be righteousness, and the Bible says that there's going to be righteousness in all the land. The ruling, the priority of the entire land is going to be righteousness. Everybody's going to be living righteously. And the ones that are not living righteously are going to be the exceptions and the outcast, and going to be dealt with a rod of iron. You see, that's going to be fantastic to live in. Right now, we're living in a wicked world, in a world that is prominently wicked, 99% wicked. Other than the Holy Ghost being here and the Christians that are filled with the Holy Ghost and born again in the body of Christ, everything else is wicked on this world. There is no righteousness outside of God the Holy Ghost and the born-again believers. There is no righteousness in the entire earth than that. Now, this person here says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. There are some places on the earth that the word of God is not welcome. A majority of places. During the Philadelphia era is when the Word of God was welcome just about everywhere, and it was running freely everywhere. Now that we've entered into the last days and the Laodicean era, the Word of God is becoming less popular everywhere, and now it's moving from less popular to despised. And now it's moving to... You can go to court and be persecuted and prosecuted for standing on the Word of God and the testimony of Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't like you are somebody because you're born again and you're somebody because you're a Christian. It's you are a stranger and peculiar. And you're not a socialist. You're not. You're one of those ones that separate yourself from society, and you're not. You don't communicate with others, and you're not social with everybody, and all of this. That's how it is now. And when these missionaries go on these missions for the Lord, they never know whether or not the Word of God is going to be welcomed. And whether it's going to be glorified like it is with us. And this man says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that there won't be any people or places or false religions or blasphemers or these wicked men and unreasonable people or like the Sadducees and the Pharisees always trying to resist the Word of God. And like Stephen was saying, you always do resist the Holy Ghost, that it would have free course, that wherever they preach, that the Word of God would just run freely everywhere. And we pray for them, things like that, that their mission would be successful for the Lord. And see, all of this support for missions that we're talking about, the financial that the financially supporting them, financially supporting these people, and prayerfully supporting these people, it's all for the Lord. It's all for His glory. It's all for people to be born into the family of God, to be saved. And that's what it's all about. And to prepare and to learn the ways of the Lord and to be delivered from evil and to live holy. And God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And that we teach and teach them what God's what the Lord's will is concerning some one of His children living for them. See, it doesn't end at salvation. It begins at salvation. And then we have to teach how to live. And you have to be the example, you see. And all these missionaries that go into these strange places or go wherever the Lord calls them, the Lord's going to equip them, but He uses us to equip them a lot of times, financially and prayerfully. So you never go wrong supporting missions. And the biblical way to support missions is what we're talking about. Now, there's one more thing that we want to talk about when it comes to biblically supporting missions, and that is that not only are we to give financially, and not only are we to give in prayer for missionaries and for people that the Lord has instructed to go on certain missions, but also that we understand that God blesses a mission-minded assembly. All these assemblies that come together, one time you go to different churches, and I'm sure you've been into them, assemblies, and you walk in, and the first thing you see is the mission board, they call it. And it's up there on a wall, and it's like a great big bulletin board. And it might have a picture of the earth on it and different countries and different this and that. And then they'll have arrows with people's pictures and lines drawn and arrows to wherever they're serving the Lord. And they're proud of that. And not proud in a wicked way, but proud in a righteous way. We are serving the Lord and helping out missionaries. And that is something to brag about, because we're instructed by the Lord to do these things, you see. What we're talking about, the study that we're on right now, is missions. What does the Bible say about missions? Well, the biblical way to support missions. Does the Bible talk about supporting missions? Well, we've been reading the scriptures, and we've seen that it says about supporting them financially, and we've seen where they have done it financially. In Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, and 10, and the Lord did not reprimand them for doing that. He supported them. And we see also the request of all these people, all these missionaries in the scriptures. And this is New Testament. And we see all these requests for prayer for different things in the scriptures that have to do with spiritual matters and getting people born again. One other thing is that God blesses a mission-minded assembly. In Philippians chapter 4, let me read that to you. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 through 19, here's what the Bible says. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A lot of stuff in that verse concerning missions. He's bragging on this church because they sent him his necessities and sent him gifts, supported him. I don't know what it was. It could have been money. It could have been food. It could have been clothes. It could have been things that he needed to do his ministry in and things like this. Either way, the Philippian church provided for him, and they communicated with him. When he says that they communicated with his affliction, in other words, it wasn't like talking and things like that. It was that they communicated in giving to him concerning something that was afflicting him. And they met the need. It says, but ye only. It said that when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So he's bragging on this Philippian church, and he's bragging to them and telling them, I love you for this. and I'm not going to forget you. He says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. You see, we're human beings, and every day that we get up, we need something. And that doesn't change because you go on a mission for the Lord. You still need something. And the Lord puts it on people's hearts that are willing to give of themselves first and then concerning giving and receiving and to give to these people that are on missions for the Lord. And he said that they sent once and again unto my necessity. And then he says, not because I desire a gift. He said, it ain't about what you're giving me and the physical stuff that you're giving me. He said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He's talking about their heavenly account that the Lord is keeping and marking these things down. He said, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, the things that you're sending me, I love and I appreciate, and they're meeting my needs, but it's not necessarily the gift itself. It's the fruit that's behind the gift that's going to help me to win people to the Lord and help me to do the Lord's work. And the Lord's going to back it all the way up to you, because you're the one that made me able to be able to do this. You see, everybody gets rewarded. And the Lord's not, He doesn't forget. He doesn't forget. He knows what you've done and the gift that you've given, and that gift goes somewhere to meet somebody's need, to meet somebody else's need, to meet somebody else's need, to win somebody to the Lord, and one thing stacks upon another concerning giving and receiving, and the Lord records it all. And he says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, the gift is very much loved and appreciated because it comes from your heart. He said, but the main thing that I love about it is that I desire fruit that's going to go on your account because of what you've done for me. And that's the same way these people on missions do. When they receive gifts from them, it's not because they want to sit back and put their feet up and live a good life off of somebody else. It's because they know that the Lord is righteous and the Lord is fair and that the Lord loves rewarding people that give from their heart. And when you provide things for these missionaries to make their life easy to be able to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, which we have been commanded and instructed to do, then the Lord puts it on our account. And he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. He says, I know how y'all sacrificed and given to me, and it just smells so sweet. It's such a good gift. And you ever had somebody give you something and you don't know how they knew that you needed it? It was exactly what you needed, exactly at the time that you needed it, and it could not have been any better, and you just praise the Lord for it because the Lord just, you know, the Lord set it all up and that he did it, and that made it just smell so sweet, and it was a sacrifice acceptable. And you just praised God for all the people that cared enough to take care of that problem for you. And then it said, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God, the Lord loves this stuff. He loves people helping people, Christians helping Christians, because that shows how much the body of Christ loves the Lord in sincerity and in truth. You see, he said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He finishes out that verse right there portion of scripture right there in Philippians with verse 19 and says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's sitting there praising him for giving the gift to him and taking care of his needs. He says, let me tell you something. He said, My God, which is their God also, the Lord, but my God shall supply all your needs. And he does. He really, really does. You can't outgive the Lord. I've heard people say that over and over and over. But when you take on that challenge personally between you and the Lord, and not necessarily try to outgive the Lord, but to give beyond your measure, beyond yourself, beyond your own greed, and to try to do that, the Lord never, ever lets you down. Ever. God blesses a mission-minded assembly. Now, let me ask you a few questions. Which church helped Paul financially? Remember? The church at Philippi. That's right. Now, another question. What abounded to the heavenly account of this church? Remember what Paul said? He said about the giving, and what did he say abounded to their account? Remember? He said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, you were responsible for making this fruit grow and bringing this fruit about. And it goes on your account as a credit. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So what abounded to the heavenly account of this church? Fruit. God blesses a mission-minded assembly. Okay, another thing. Another question, I mean. What did God promise to supply for this church? You got it. All their need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is able to give you everything that you need. And when it comes to giving to these missionaries and taking care of these people that the Lord sends on special, specific missions, you get behind it and support it, and the Lord will take care of your needs without a doubt. He does. He really, really does. There's a lady called Malthy Babcock. She said, your love has a broken wing if it cannot fly across the sea. You know, I've been behind supporting missions before, and the Lord's never let me down. He's never let me down. He's taken care of all my needs all the time, even when I didn't deserve it and I was disrespectful about it. And he's taken care of me when I've been faithfully serving him, along with him having me in class and teaching me what's important and what's not important. And he does the same for you. We have a faithful Lord. And when it comes to the biblical way to support missions, it's good for us to support financially because it's scripture. It's good for us to support prayerfully because it's scripture. And it's good for us to support not because the Lord will give back to us, but because we know that the Lord's going to take care of us anyway. So it doesn't hurt us one bit to do anything for the Lord because the Lord's always going to take care of us anyway. And he does. So we'll stop right there. And the next thing that we'll get into, or the topic that we'll talk about concerning missions on the next recording, will be who are some of the missionaries found in the scriptures. And we'll go over some of them, okay? And it's been a good study today, and I thank you for listening in. And I hope that you'll go over these scriptures again. Let me give those to you so I don't forget. I'm glad I say that because I remind myself to give you the scriptures, huh? Let me get to them here and make sure I'm giving you the right ones. I gave you 2 Corinthians on the last one, I think. Yes, I did. Okay, well, let's start here. Romans chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 through 19. Okay, well, there's the scriptures. And we've had a good lesson today concerning the biblical way to support missions. And I hope that you'll take all this to heart, that you'll read the scriptures that we've been over today, and that you'll believe your Bible, and you'll believe God's Word, and believe what He has promised and what He has said and concerning missions and the supporting of missions. Okay, we found out a lot today because it's truth and it's scripture and it's Bible. So let's rejoice in the Lord always, and give the Lord our praise and our worship, and let's serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Until the next recording, bye-bye.